Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome. This is Watcher Ruth, and I'm coming to you this beautiful Saturday morning, March the 9th, 2013, at 8 a.m. This is Here, There, and Everywhere, where we go into the unthinkable, weird, the lunatic fringe, things that you don't want to know about, least of all talk about, but absolutely need to. Thank you for tuning in again this morning. And I want to put it out there for anyone who's listening live this morning. If you want to talk to me, sweet talk me, or just yell at me, give me a call. 347-945-5170. Spent a little time this week talking about the Federal Reserve to a pal of mine online, and it's kind of funny how people just do not get it. They don't see between the lines, and they're just led by the nose anywhere the government wants to take them. I've had a battle many times with people about the Federal Reserve because it says federal. It must be part of the government. But it is not part of the government. Federal Reserve never was part of the government. When it was even thought up, one very late, smoky, alcohol and sex-filled night on Jekyll Island, between what I would speculate to say, it's probably a few fallen angels and others, got together and thought about how they would rape, pillage, and rob humanity for an indefinite period of time. And they created the Federal Reserve. You know, some of those guys like Paul Warburg and the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Mellons, the Kaiser family. They got together and figured it out. So the Federal Reserve is basically an oligarchy, which is a type of government headed by a talking head, which is our Ben Bernanke, and then governed by people that no one knows who they are. They govern over you, the people, by way of charging you interest for the money that you have to are forced to borrow from them through our corrupt government. And then you are held in bondage for it forever because you're never going to pay all that interest off. All the income tax money that's paid to the government that ever will be goes right directly to them. So there you go. Forever in bondage. Till the Lord our King comes back. But at any rate, we want the limits of global redistribution to be held in our hands and not in theirs, and global labor movements taking place right underneath our noses that nobody even knows about that's going to put us also into bondage. But it's a good Sabbath morning, and we're always talking about gloom and doom and what's going to happen. Buy silver, stash food, grub, guns, gold, and God is what I say. Put God first, of course. Try to get yourself spiritually right, because you know when the Ephesians 6 and et cetera comes about, principalities bring you before magistrates and powers, thinking ye not in advance what to say. But be prepared with the Word of God so you can use it like he does, a two-edged sword against the powers and principalities that want to drag you down. Kill, steal, and destroy is what Satan came here to do, and he knows how to do it, family. He's been practicing a very, very long time on this. So, because we need all of the oil that we can get, and we need to be prepared with sufficient truth, and the only truth that is sufficient is the Word of God and the oil from the lampstands that are there available. So we're going to go to the book of Zechariah, and read some of the fourth chapter. I'm hoping all of the 14th chapter. But before that, I want to read out of the book of Revelations. And that's going to be chapter 11, verses 3 through 13. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they, the people and the kindreds and the tongues and the nations, shall see the dead bodies lying there 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer them, their dead bodies, to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because the two great prophets tormented them that dwelled upon the earth dwellers. So we know that the two lampstands are really, really important for sufficient truth to be revealed. And in Zechariah, it talks a little bit about how the Lord knocks on our hearts individually. In chapter 4, verse 11, I'm going to actually start at 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. I just want to digress for one moment, but I had myself a prophecy that happened last summer, when the eyes of the Lord ran to and fro around the earth. I was myself given the prophecy of the Song of Solomon, where I did a word study search on the whole Song of Solomon, where it said, winter is over, etc. And it was pretty insightful little thing. You might want to go back and do a little word study on that your own self. And then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes emptied the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said to me, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So we have the two olive branches that are going to be coming here just at the very, very Wow, was that too much to take? I got booted off my own program, folks. Huh. That was pretty interesting. Now, I've listened to a couple other programs when that's happened, but it's never happened to me. Wow. Am I tuned back into my program, and are you listening? I have zero callers. If anyone's listening live, please tell me where I left off and what you heard me speak of this morning. Boy, isn't that something? Well, I'm on air. I got 18 minutes left, and I've got whoever's tuning into me. I'm going to go back to Zechariah 14, which is just about as much time as I had left. I don't know if I got to read in chapter 4 to you on air, but at any rate, watch for the day of the Lord is coming soon. Wonder who they're talking about. Fig tree generation. I think they're talking about the fig tree generation. If you're trying to call me, please call me. 347-945-5170. I'm listening. I'm looking. Don't talk to me. Anyway, day of the Lord's coming soon. On that day, the Lord will gather together the nations to fight Jerusalem. We've got Barack Obama right over there right now trying to duplicate every single thing our Jesus did. Dirty, rotten bums. The city will be taken, the houses will be rifled, the loot will be divided, and the women will be raped. Half the population will be taken away as slaves, and half will be left in what remains of the city. Then the Lord will go out fully armed for war to fight against those nations. That day, his seat will stand upon the Mount of Olives to the east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split apart, making a very wide valley running from east to west, for half of the mountain will move towards the north, and the other half of the mountain will move towards the south. I don't think that's happened yet. You will escape through that valley, for it will reach across to the city gate. Yes, you will escape as your people did long centuries ago from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah. The king of Judah and the Lord my God shall come, and all of his saints and all of his angels in that day will come with him. And on that day, when the saints come with the Lord God Creator and all of his angels with him on that day, the sun and the moon will not shine. There's going to be continuous light. The light of 7 days, in one day the light shall shine. But on that day, only the Lord knows how. It won't be like a normal day. Because at night, it's going to be still light. And there will be water flowing from Jerusalem. The water will flow from the Dead Sea on half the mountain, and the other half towards the Mediterranean, and it will never stop flowing. It will flow continuously, both in winter and summer. And in that time, the Lord shall be the king of the earth, and all over the earth there shall be only one Lord, and only his name will be worshipped. No more Baal worship. No more Isis worship. No more worshiping of self. and the land from Geba to Rimmon will become one vast plain. But Jerusalem will be on an elevated site, covering the area all the way from the gate of Benjamin over to the site of the old gate and then to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hinel, the king's wine presses. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited, safe at last again, to be cursed and destroyed. And the Lord will send a plague on all of the people who fought Jerusalem. They will become like walking corpses, their flesh rotting away. Their eyes will shrivel out of their sockets, and their tongues will decay in their mouths. They shall be seized with terror, panic-stricken from the Lord, and will fight against each other in hand-to-hand combat. All will be fighting, and the wealth of all of the neighboring nations will be confiscated. Great quantities of gold and silver, even all the fine clothing. And then there will be strange plagues that come along into all the animals and other things in the enemy camp. And in those who survive the plague will go up to Jerusalem each year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to celebrate a time of thanksgiving. And any nation anywhere in the world that refuses to come to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, will have no rain. But if Egypt refuses to come, God will punish her with some other plague. And so Egypt and the other nations will all be punished if they refuse to come. In that day, the bells on the horses will have written on them, "These are holy property," and the trash cans in the temple of the Lord will be sacred as the bowls beside the altar. In fact, every container in Jerusalem and Judah shall be sacred to the Lord of hosts. All who come to worship may use any of them free of charge to boil their sacrifices in. There will be no more grasping traitors in the temple of the Lord of hosts. The Father Creator says, my people die for lack of knowledge. They don't know the Lord of hosts because Satan's stricken the shepherd. And the sheep have indeed been scattered. We all know what the fate of Israel is. This is the fate of Israel, Zechariah says, who stretched out and laid the foundations of the earth. Who stretched out the foundations of the earth? Who stretched out and formed the spirit of man within him? Zechariah pronounced this, says the Lord, "I will make Jerusalem a cup of poison, and Judah like a cup of trembling to all of the nations that send their armies around Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be a heavy stone burdened by the world. But the Lord will defend the people of Jerusalem. The weakest among them will be as mighty as King David. And the royal line will be as God like the angel of the Lord who goes before them. And he will pour out his grace and mercy and spirit on those in prayer, all of the people of Jerusalem that look upon him, that mourn for him as their only true father and the only son. They grieve bitterly for him. In sorrow, they mourn. They look profoundly look to the future where the king will rule and reign. We have the people that have infiltrated our churches. They are telling us today that we need to look to prosperity in this world, and if we give a seed, that we're certainly going to be able to be prosperous, bring heaven on earth today, in our lives today. They say they follow the Lord, but they worship Moloch also. And the Lord said he will destroy them. Those who formerly worshiped the Lord, but now quietly worship Moloch in the dark. And as watchers, we need to maintain the cry of the alarm, because the time is coming closer and closer until the noise of the advancing army reaches the very top of the hill where the city is built, when the people of Jerusalem will wail in sorrow, all your greedy businessmen and all your loan sharks, all will die. All will search with lanterns in Jerusalem's darkest corners to find and punish those who sit contented in their sins and indifferent to God, thinking he will leave them alone. He will search them out in the terrible day that is near. And it will come swiftly, a day when strong men will weep bitterly. It's going to be the day when the wrath of God is poured out, when terrible distress and anguish will prevail, because that's going to be the day of desolation, darkness, gloom, clouds, and blackness. Don't you remember when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Did you not read in the prophets, and have I not told you about these days? Didn't I tell you to sharpen the battle axe and make ready to go up on the wall and warn, to be the watchman, to sound the trumpet call, to give the battle cry, to go down, go to the walled cities and the strongest battlements? Yes. Because he's told us that in the day that your silver and gold will be of no use. In the day of the Lord's wrath, you can't ransom yourself with it. For the whole land will be devoured by fire of his jealousy. He will make a speedy riddance of all of those people. He's warned us. He has said, while there is still time, and before the judgment begins, and before your opportunity is blown away like chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord falls on the terrible day of his wrath, beg him to save. Beg him. All of you who are humble, all of you who have tried to obey, the Lord will protect you from his wrath in that day, in the day of doom. But he has said, walk humbly. Do what is right. Perhaps even yet the Lord will protect you from his wrath in the day of doom. Not one word that the Lord has spoken will come to other than what his desired path has been and his intent. And he's listened to the taunts and the mockings of those that wish to invade. And he has said, surely as I live, said the Lord of hosts of God of Israel, Moab and Ammon will be destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah and become like a place of stinging nettles and salt pits and eternal desolation. Those of my people who are left will plunder and possess them. Her prophets are liars, seeking their own gain. Her priests defile the temple by their disobedience to God's laws. Day by day, this justice is more evident, but no one heeds. Now, the wicked don't know any shame. They've taken me off their streets. They run in silent ruin. Their cities will lay deserted. There won't be a single survivor. They won't. But you, O daughter of Jerusalem, because you pursue him, the Lord has promised for you to be glad and rejoice all of your hearts. For the Lord will remove his hand of judgment and disperse the armies of your enemy. And the Lord himself, the King of Israel, he's going to live among you. And at that time and in that day, we will not have any fears. We will have the oil of life, and we won't need the two lampstands to guide us because we're going to be walking in the light. And at that time, all of our troubles will be over. We will have no more fear. On that day, he says in Zephaniah 3:16, cheer up. Don't be afraid. The Lord God has arrived to live among you. He's a mighty Savior. He will give you victory. He will rejoice over you in great gladness. He will love you and never accuse you. And it will be like a joyous choir. The Lord himself will exalt a happy song. Wow. Isn't that awesome, family? So remember, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Don't let the world burden you down. Love each other. Don't quarrel with each other over doctrine. It's just silly. We're all forgiven, and it's all forgotten once we have a contrite heart and ask for forgiveness. I hope to see you tomorrow, family. God bless you all.